ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയില പ്രഭുപാദ കി ജയം നിഥിലീല പ്രവിഷ്ണോ വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയില പ്രഭുപാദ കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർ കി പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോവിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനകി വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാം കി മായപ്പൂർ ധാം കി മധുരപുരി ധാം കി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാം കി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാം കി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് ഹിമനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി glories to the assembled devotees all glories to the assembled devotees all glories to the assembled devotees all glories to shri shri guru and shri gauranga all glories to shila prabhupada namo vishnu padaya krishna prasthaya bhutale shrimati bhakti vedanta swamin dinamine namaste saraswati devim gauravani prajarine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschati deshadarine om namo bhagavate vasudevayam ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സോ ടുഡേ വി ആർ ഗോയിങ് ടു സ്റ്റാർട്ട് ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് നാരദ ഭക്തി സൂത്രം മോസ്റ്റ് ഓഫ് യു മേ ഹാവ് സീൻ ദിസ് ബുക്ക് ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ബീൻ പബ്ലിഷ്ഡ് ഇൻ ഇഷ്കോൺ ലോങ് എഗോ But since then, not many people took it very seriously because what happened was that, let me tell you the history of Bhakti Sutram and Ishkan together. When Srila Prabhupada was in America in 1966, there wasn't any of the books ready. Most of the books were just in the process of writing or being prepared. That time, Satsarupa Maharaj got one copy of this Narada Bhakti Sutram and sent it to Srila Prabhupada, asking for Prabhupada's opinion about it. So Prabhupada immediately started writing commentary on this book, on this Bhakti Sutram. And it so happened that due to various other commitments, Prabhupada switched on to Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. And the intention was to complete this book after completing Srimad Bhagavatam. That was in Prabhupada's mind. Because due to the traveling programs and the pressure of work and all that, somehow it didn't happen. So what happened is that only the first chapter, there's five chapters in this book, only the first chapter was commended by Srila Prabhupada. And the remaining chapters were later on, much later, after Prabhupada's disappearance, Satsarupa Maharaj and a few other devotees got together and they prepared the commentary for the remaining part of the Bhakti Sutra. So that is how this book was printed. So you'll see here at the bottom written, Foundracharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and his disciples. So only the first chapter is Prabhupada's commentary and the remaining commentary is all from Satsarupa Maharaj and other devotees who have helped him to write the commentary. So, why is this important book? That is a question, first thing, isn't it? As you know, in the three main processes in Vedic tradition, one is process of knowledge, isn't it? Process of knowledge. And that knowledge process is represented by Vedanta Sutram, or what is known as Brahma Sutram. Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled that book. Vedanta Sutram was compiled by Vedavyasa Maharshi. So, Vedanta Sutram actually refers to the knowledge aspect of the Vedic tradition. Then, for the yoga system, which is Ashtanga Yoga process, for which another great personality, a great sage called Patanjali wrote a famous book known as Yoga Sutram. And when these two books were present there, Yoga Sutram and Vedanta Sutram, Sri Narada Maharshi felt the very strong desire to write a sutram for bhakti process. So that is how this Bhakti Sutram has come into existence. Prior to this, Vedanta Sutram existed and Yoga Sutram existed. But Narada Bhakti Sutram has come into existence when Narada Maharshi felt a need for a sutram. Well, come to you, what that sutram means. A need for a sutram came to his mind and he wrote this Bhakti Sutram. What does sutram mean? Sutram means, in the ancient times, they didn't have all the facilities like today, like we have. We have all kinds of technological facilities, but they didn't have anything. They were fortunate in that sense, because they stayed in the forest, they spoke and they heard, and they absorbed it. But for convenience sake, what they did was, they made the message in coded words, in some codified form. So, for example, if you take the first sutram in Vedanta Sutram itself is Adhado Brahma Jinyasa. Adhado Brahma Jinyasa. From that few words, Adhato Brahma Jinyasa, there is commentary on that. Because it is in the coded form, it requires explanation for others to understand. So therefore, there were commentators on this Vedanta Sutram, or which is also known as Brahma Sutram. So, Vedanta Sutram or Brahma Sutram was commented by many great acharyas on the same tradition, and they wrote their commentary in depth, very famous commentaries on that. But that refers to mostly to the knowledge aspect or the jnana margam or the process of knowledge in the Vedic tradition. Similarly, for Yoga Sutram also, Patanjali's Yoga Sutram also, you will see there is exhaustive commentaries on that. How? Because the sutram, that is in the sutra form, in the coded form, acharyas and great personalities who have practiced it, they realized it. When they realized it, they wanted to explain that to the rest of the world. And that is how commentaries have come about. It's not that they were just intellectually planning things in their head. After studying Vedanta Sutram and hearing that from other realized souls, those who have realized it, and those who have experienced that the knowledge was perfect, and they experienced that bliss or the realization of the soul, they wanted to write their realizations in terms of the sutrams they have studied. And that is how Vedanta Sutram came into a large commentary. Sharirya Bhashyam, Ramanuja Shri Bhashyam, they are all famous commentaries on the Vedanta Sutram. So in the same way, on Patanjali's Yoga Sutram also, we have many, many commentaries on that. Because Yoga Sutram or Patanjali's Yoga Sutram tells you, like sutra form, Yogaha, Chittavritti Nirodha, that's all it says. Only controlling Chittavritti, that is Yogam, he says. But in detail to understand what that Chittavritti means, how to control the Chittavritti, all these things are in the commentary. So it is for convenience sake that they made it in the sutra form. And that sutra form, people will keep it in their head. For example, Vedanta Sutram has got 555 sutras in there. Narada Bhakti Sutram has got 84 sutras. Patanjali's Yoga Sutram also, a small book, probably 100 or so sutras in there. So if you want to study Narada Bhakti Sutram, all you have to remember, memorize these 84 sutras. And if you have heard about this from someone who has studied it well, then it will stay in your head, in your mind, in your realizations also, it will has its effect. This is the principle behind the sutram. Sutram means, in other words, it's also a kind of technique that they have adopted. Sutram means various things. It's a kind of technique. It's a codified way of presenting things. Sutra means also a thread. A thread which goes to sutra manigana iva in the Bhagavad Gita, it says there. So there are various meanings, but In typically, we have to understand that sutram has come like this. The principle behind that was to make life a lot easier for those who are studying this literature. So they can study, memorize the sutram. And if you memorize the sutram, from there, you will get a detailed understanding by hearing from someone about it later. So when the sutrams came into existence, Vedanta Sutram was very famous because Vedanta Sutram is very much based on that. You can see Prabhupada also has quoted many places. Adhado Brahma Jnasa Jivasya Tato Jnasa Janmadya Sedaha. All these are different sutras from the Vedanta Sutram which has been taken into our commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam also. So, this is the introduction to Bhakti Sutram. Now, Sri Narada Maharshi felt something different. While commenting on Vedanta Sutram and Yoga Sutram, there is other acharyas have commented on that. But on bhakti, it is a difficult thing to comment like that compared to knowledge and yoga. Yoga system and knowledge, compared to yoga system and knowledge, it is difficult to comment on bhakti. Why? Bhakti is anubhuti. Anubhuti means one's own experience of bhakti. When one experiences bhakti, then he doesn't require any explanation what it is. You don't have to tell him what bhakti is then. He knows what it is because he's experiencing it within his own heart. So, Sri Narada Maharshi, because he has experienced this within himself, he felt the need or desire to if you can come a little bit to the front, please. He felt the need to explain his realizations, in a way that others can understand what is bhakti. That is why this Bhakti Sutram is so well known. All that is in this Bhakti Sutram is completely his own realizations. We must know who Sri Narada Maharshi is very well, because if we don't understand the author, we don't understand his realizations. Narada Maharshi is a personality whom you have to understand better. So, Sri Narada Maharshi, if you want to know Bhakti Sutram very well, you have to read Bhagavatam well. Bhagavatam and Bhakti Sutram is so close to each other. I'll give you an example. When Prabhupada wrote this commentary on Bhakti Sutram, one important point he mentioned, he wrote this to Satsuru Maharaj about this. His words, I'll read it as it is what he said. He says there, he says here, there are many authoritative books of spiritual knowledge. But all of them are more or less supplements to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. It's an important point. Without knowing Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, if you are studying any other literature, it's just beating around the bush. You won't get to the core. The core message is in these two literature, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says here, even the Narada Bhakti Sutram is a summary of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. See, even Narada Bhakti Sutram is a summary of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So those who are regularly reading and studying and hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, for them it's very easy to capture the message in the Bhakti Sutram. But if you're not reading Bhagavad Gita, if you're not reading Srimad Bhagavatam, then it becomes a little effort required to understand, because the whole background of Narada Bhakti Sutram is Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. These are our main literature. Whole Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, everything is centered around Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, it is important to understand these Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam very well, because there is so much to understand from Bhagavad Gita which will help us, and from Bhagavatam, to understand this Bhakti Sutram. Anyway, now that we have decided to go ahead with this Bhakti Sutram, somehow or the other, by Krishna's mercy and Prabhupada's desire, that we should discuss this. And when we go through this sutram, you will notice so many interesting things, in the sense that five chapters, what it is referred to here, begins with what is known as the first chapter itself, the value of devotion. Value of devotion. What is bhakti? That is what is wanted to explain that. And in that process he says that the bhakti is something which is realized only. Only it is realized. It is not something you can't run a course on bhakti. You can't explain to somebody what is bhakti. Bhakti is to be experienced. That's the main thing. That Narada Maharshi vouched for that all the time. He says, if you are not experienced, pray to Krishna to give you bhakti. That's all he can say. To get that, and that Krishna has to give it to you. It is not something that you can create within yourself. Due to various vasanas inside, from so many lifetimes, what we have brought with us, our consciousness is completely polluted with various unwanted thoughts, and ragam, dvesham, and the six kinds of problems, like kamam, lust, anger, greed, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, illusion, madam, pride, matsaryam, that competing nature with others, all these are the impurities inside. So long as all these things are inside, it is difficult to develop bhakti. It's difficult to develop bhakti. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, in this Srimad, in the Narada Bhakti Sutram, that generally, Narada Maharshi spoke this sutram, and he also mentions there that these sutrams can help you, he says, to understand what is bhakti. He says it can help you, not more than that. It can help you. That's all. So first thing, what Sri Narada Maharshi said was, what is bhakti? What is bhakti? That's what is first chapter discussion about. The nature of bhakti. This is something important to know, because in the mundane world, normally, we misunderstand bhakti in so many ways. Misunderstanding can happen. We understand bhakti is a process by which we engage in so many devotional activities with the hope that one day we will develop bhakti. Isn't it? That is a hope. At the moment, most of us can claim that we are bhakta actually, because that stage hasn't happened yet. We are in the stage of sadhana, or in the process of executing the sadhana bhakti. So bhakti is generally defined into two categories. One is the aparabhakti and the other one is parabhakti. What we are practicing now is what is called aparabhakti. Aparabhakti means that we don't know the result, but we heard from others that there is bhakti is there. Bhakti realization will come later. With the hope, on the basis of the instructions from the acharyas, we are practicing certain discipline in life. That is aparabhakti, or what is known as sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti or aparabhakti it is called. What Krishna talks about in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam is not about aparabhakti. It's all about parabhakti. Because that is what matters at the end. You can only say that you have reached the state of bhakti when you come to the state of parabhakti. Parabhakti is what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When they present all those great devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you can see that they were all in that category of parabhakti. Kunti Devi, to start with, Parikshit Maharaj, Sudev Goswami, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Sri Narada Maharshi, and so an endless list, Ambarish Maharaj, Prahlada, Dhruva, and Akrura, Gopis, Uddhava, Ambarish Maharaj, Vritrasura, endless list in the Bhagavatam. You can see a long list we can prepare from there, Muchukunda, and so on and so forth. All of them, they belong to the parabhakti stage. They don't belong to the aparabhakti. Aparabhakti is that bhakti which we are practicing. Our faith is not so strong. We are not so fixed up. Nor we know what we want. We don't know what we want from spiritual life. We have some understanding that we have to surrender to Krishna. But if Krishna comes and offers to us liberation today, we may not be willing to accept it. We will say, wait, we'll have some more things to do here. And that is finished, I'll come back. So that's our stage at the moment. We are not ready for that kind of practice of bhakti. We are not reached that stage yet. So therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, if you remember, Sri Narada Maharshi comes to discuss with Vedavyas about bhakti, isn't it? It is there in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. If you remember, that Narada Maharshi appears all the way through Bhagavatam. Have you noticed that? If you are reading Bhagavatam, you will find all these interesting things. All through Bhagavatam, if you take off Krishna, if there is one personality present, it is Narada Maharshi. In everything, he has put his head on, in everything. Everything he has put his hands into it. So, beginning of the Bhagavatam itself, from the very first canto, if you look into the fifth chapter of the first canto, there, Srinarada Maharshi comes to Vedavyasa Maharshi to talk about Srimad Bhagavatam first. And that is a very famous chapter, the fifth chapter in the first canto. It is the most interesting chapter in that canto because that is where Vedavyasa Maharshi gets his inspiration to write Srimad Bhagavatam. He got his inspiration to write Srimad Bhagavatam. You have to remember, Vedavyasa Maharshi has gone through a lot of crisis in his own mind before he wrote Bhagavatam. Probably people don't appreciate that very much, how much difficulty he went through before he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. He has every reason to feel depressed. He has every reason to feel very disappointed about it. What happened was that he had the intention to help this world. He's an incarnation of Krishna. The literary incarnation. That means his purpose of coming down to this world was simply to tell this world what this life is meant for. That was his goal. So in order to prepare the people and advise them to take this message seriously, he started compiling the different Vedic literature. First thing what he did was he took the Vedas and divided them into four. Rig Vedam, Yajur Vedam, Samavedam and Atharvana Vedam. And then he selected four major disciples, four important disciples, and taught them these four Vedas to each one of them. So that he thought that by teaching them individually, through them and through their disciples, this system will stay in this world. That was his intention behind it. So, Paila Maharshi was given Rig Vedam. Yajnavalkya was given Yajur Vedam. And Jaimini was given Samavedam. And Atharvana Vedam was given to Atharva Maharshi. So, the four sages who were all his disciples, he taught each branch of the Vedas to four different sages. And they in turn learned it and they taught to their disciples. And in that system, this Vedic tradition existed. The four Vedic traditions existed. Rig Vedam, Yajur Vedam, Samavedam and Atharvana Vedam. So after doing that, he still felt, after he realized one thing, this is only stays in the few people who are very serious about spiritual life. Only they will study the Vedas. Ordinary people, they don't have any interest in the Vedas or in any spiritual literature, isn't it? Generally, people, most of the people in this world are busy with the life in this world. How to maintain the body, how to live peacefully and get through the life somehow. And what happens after that is another issue. So, seeing this situation, Vedavyasa Maharshi felt the need to get this message to the world in a way that will be understood by the ordinary people. That is the reason when he took the Vedas and the same message he brought to the world through Puranas. That means all the 18 major Puranas he compiled and 18 Upapuranas also. Corollaries to the major Puranas he wrote. So Puranas were written with the intention of bringing that message to the people. After Puranas were written, still he found the people were not taking to it. Can you imagine Vedavyasa Maharshi's disappointment? How he must have felt it, that I written all these things, spent gallons of blood to compile this literature, and sitting in the cold Himalayas, he was writing all these things and releasing to the world. But people are not interested, what can you do? So it was then that he felt the need to write the Mahabharatam. He compiled Mahabharatam at that time, over 125,000 verses. Mahabharatam. He wrote Mahabharatam, 125,000 verses, and issued that also to this world. Mahabharatam was given to this world. When Mahabharatam came here, most of the people who read Mahabharatam, they also misunderstood a lot of things. Whatever Vedavyasa Maharshi had in his mind, you see, when an author compiles a book, and he writes it and sends it, especially when a personality like Vedavyasa Maharshi, who had some noble intentions behind it, when it comes to the ordinary people, they read it and then they misunderstand everything. It is a very awkward situation to bring them back into the right track isn't it? It's very, very difficult what has happened with Vedavyasa Maharshi's teachings. So he himself was in a very disturbed state after he wrote Mahabharata. Mahabharata was compiled and then he was himself feeling very depressed about that. It was in that state then Sri Narada Maharshi arrives on the scene and talks to Vedavyasa about what has gone wrong in life, what has gone wrong in his compositions, in his literary work. So Mahabharatam was particularly concerned about dharma, isn't it? Concerned about dharma. Dharma means that what one should do in this world and what one should not do in this world. This is basically, in simple terms, to talk about dharma. What one should do in this world and what one should not do in this world. This is dharma. So all this dharma was explained in the Mahabharatam at length. And Vedavyasa Maharshi felt that even after talking to them about dharma, it is not going through to their head. Even dharma was not followed properly. Why? Because the process of dharma and understanding dharma is also a difficult thing. You may, one dharma, what is correct in one situation may be wrong in another situation. This is the difficulty. One place, same instruction may be applied and it can be accepted. Another place, it cannot be applied and cannot be accepted. So all these problems are there with the dharma also. So he compiled Mahabharatam with this intention of teaching dharma, and he still realized that the message is not getting through to the people. So Vedavyasa Maharshi was very, very upset and he was in a very unhappy state where he started recognizing that he had to consult this with somebody else. It was at that time that Sri Narada Maharshi comes on the scene. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find that that first meeting between Vedavyasa and Sri Narada Maharshi happens near Badrinath. And that is where Sri Narada Maharshi instructed Vedavyasa certain important things. There's a lot to say about all these things. Why? Because if you understand the background, you can understand it better. For example, Sri Narada Maharshi is son of Lord Brahma, isn't it? Brahma instructed Sri Narada Maharshi in the Vedas. Vedic knowledge has come to Lord through Narada Maharshi. And the same Narada Maharshi, at a later date, goes to another personality, the four Kumaras. Out of them, Sanat Kumara Maharshi. He goes to Sanat Kumara Maharshi and says to Sanat Kumara Maharshi like this. He says, I have memorized all the Vedas. I studied everything. But my distress has not gone. He says, my distress has not gone. In other words, he felt that something is incomplete in my education, in his studies. He felt very badly about that, that I have not understood something. So, among the four brothers, Sanaga, Sanandana, Sanatana and Sanat Kumara Maharshi called Narada Maharshi separately and instructed him. And that is what is known as Chandogya Upanishad. If you remember, you can read all these things on the website also, it's available now. All there, everything is there. So just you have to take the book and read through that. You will see there, Sanat Kumara Maharshi instructing Narada Maharshi about Brahma Vidya, about spiritual knowledge and spiritual realization. Narada Maharshi's complaint was, I studied everything, but I have not understood anything. He says, my distress hasn't gone. Because Shastram is saying, after you are self-realized, there should be no more distress. No more eternal, blissful, full of knowledge, isn't it? So you are supposed to be blissful. But Narada Maharshi says, I am very distressed. So what was the point me studying everything? I've studied all these things, nothing has happened. Na Shokataradi, he says, I have not got over my distress yet. Because I have not realized the soul. Na Almavit. I'm not an Atmavit, he says. It was then that the whole Chandogya Upanishad is a discussion between Sanat Kumara Maharshi and Narada Maharshi together. And Sanat Kumara Maharshi instructs Sri Narada Maharshi in what is known as Bhuma Vidya. Bhuma Vidya is one process in self-realization in the Jnana Margam. He instructs all these things to to Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi learned Bhuma Vidya from him, Sanat Kumara Maharshi, and practiced that for a considerable period of time and understood many secrets of the process of knowledge. But in due course, what happened was, Narada Maharshi started seeing the world which is changing. He wanted to do something good in this world. He wanted to help, because that is the nature of the devotees, isn't it? They want to help others to how to come out of this illusion in the head, what we are carrying on. So, Sri Narada Maharshi, out of his causeless mercy to others, he wanted to help, but he himself started realizing the problem with this process of Upanishad process and the process of knowledge, how difficult it was for ordinary people to get the message through. It was then that he goes to Lord Brahma, and Brahma instructs Narada Maharshi about Srimad Bhagavatam. That Bhagavatam came to Sri Narada Maharshi in that way. That is what you find in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole of first canto, Narada Maharshi appears in two places. First one, he comes to instruct Vedavyasa Maharshi. Secondly, when Parikshit Maharaj was giving up his, came to sat down in the banks of Ganga River to give up his body, at that time Sukadeva Goswami came, at that time Narada Maharshi was also there. Narada Maharshi sat down there with Vedavyasa Maharshi and many others, along with so many great sages. They were all present in the banks of river Ganga River to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. So in these two places, you will see in the first canto, Sri Narada Maharshi's presence. There is one more occasion where he comes in the first canto, is when Krishna left this world, Arjuna came back from Dwaraka and wanted to tell Yudhishthira Maharaj that Krishna has left this world. But before Arjuna came to Yudhishthira Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj noticed the change in Arjuna's face and he immediately sensed that there is something has gone wrong somewhere. And he could guess that maybe Krishna has left this world. Only 2 days before that, Narada Maharshi came to see Yudhishthira Maharaj. Narada Maharshi knew Krishna had left this world, but didn't mention this to Sri Yudhishthira Maharaj. He went away from there without saying anything. At that point, Narada Maharshi says to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira, it is like this, that nobody can help anyone in this world. No one can help anyone else in this world. It is like all of us are, just like he gives the example, Chakshushravana Galastam Darduram. In other words, two snakes are there, and each snake has got one frog in its own, in their mouth. So the one frog in the mouth of one snake is telling the other frog in the mouth of the other snake that I will look after you, I will protect you. This is our state in this world. Actually, nobody can help you, Yudhishthira. You have to look your own way to get out of this place. Saying this, only this much he said. He knew Krishna has left, but he didn't mention this to Yudhishthira, and he left. Walked away from there and went to see Dhritarashtra and Vidura and others. He went there. So in these three places you see Narada Maharshi appearing the Bhagavatam in the first canto. If you look into the second canto, you will see there that how Sri Narada Maharshi received Srimad Bhagavatam from Brahma. There are three chapters. Krishna gave Bhagavatam to Brahma in four verses, isn't it? Chadashlogi Bhagavatam is called the four seed verses. So Chadashlogi Bhagavatam, or the four seed verses, Krishna gave that to Brahma. Brahma expanded that and gave it in three chapters to Sri Narada Maharshi. And that you will see in the second canto. Second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is connected with that. That how Sri Narada Maharshi received the message of Srimad Bhagavatam from Brahma through these three chapters. Then when you go to third canto, that is Narada Maharshi is present in the second canto. When you go to the third canto, you will see there Narada Maharshi's appearance, how he came to this world. Narada Maharshi had three lifetimes, as you know probably, that he had three lifetimes. Like our Bharata Maharshi, Bharata Yogeshwara, who is the Jada Bharata. He had three lifetimes, isn't it? He also had three lifetimes. He first appeared as King Bharata, then he had taken the body of a deer, and then he had to take the body of a Brahmana, where he got released from the cycle of birth and death. Now, if you look at Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see one interesting thing. Sukadeva Goswami and this Jadabharata, they are very identical characters. Have you noticed that? Their realizations, their attitude towards this world, attitude towards everything is very similar. That is why when it comes to that fifth canto, when it comes to Jadabharata's topic, the topic related to Jadabharata, when Sukadeva Goswami talks about it, he gets a great delight in talking about it. Why? Because it's his own story he has to repeat, that's all. He doesn't have to take the role of anybody else. Jadabharata and Sukadeva Goswami, they are very close in their realizations, I'm saying. In their realizations, they are very close. So it makes it a lot easier for him to talk what he has to say. Because whatever he has spoken, is that what Jadabharata was saying? Exactly the same thing. So Bharata Upakhyanam, or this Jadabharata story in the Bhagavatam, is particularly interesting because Sukadeva Goswami is speaking there on behalf of Jadabharata. That's why it's interesting. Now, if you go into third canto, it only talks about Narada Maharshi's appearance in this world. Mariji, Atri, Angiras, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kradu, Bhrigu, Vasishta, Daksha, Dashamastatra, Narada. The 10 sages who appeared from Brahma, out of the 10th one was Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi originally was a Gandharva. He was a musician. I don't know what was his band name or anything, but he was a musician. In the Gandharva. Gandharvas are known for music, isn't it? They are the propounders of music. So whatever that may be, he was into music. He was great, strongly into music. He enjoys music very much. Ubabarhana was his name. At the time, his name was Ubabarhana, as a Gandharva. And naturally, Gandharvas are fond of good life. Good life means singing, dancing, and eating well and traveling. All over the creation they traveled. So it was then that Sri Narada Maharshi had a misfortune. He had to go to a satram where in Brahma's assembly where very serious topics were discussed. So these Gandharva men and women, they go together, travel all over and singing, dancing. This was their happy way life. You will see in the Bhagavatam also there are other personalities who come like that. So, our Sri Narada Maharshi goes to this Brahmasatram. When he went there were all great sages were present there. But somehow or the other, Narada Maharshi did not feel very respectful towards them. Why? Because when you are intoxicated with money, intoxicated with happiness in life, the tendency will always be a little bit proud, isn't it? Pride will develop inside. And naturally, he did not care for the sages. Sages, seeing his nature, told him that you go and take birth as a human being now. You enjoyed this too much, for too long in the heavenly world. Go to the material, the earthly world, and become a human being. And that too, you will get the body in a family, which will not have much of a spiritual culture. In other words, so that's why. The first birth was a Gandharva. Originally he is a Gandharva. Then he had to come to this world as a boy. And he took birth. And that is what that story Narada Maharshi talks about to Vedavyasa Maharshi in the fifth chapter of the first canto. That is the story he is saying to him. Generally, none of the sages in the Vedic tradition will talk about themselves. It is considered to be wrong to talk about oneself. That is their humility, and that's their way they conduct their business. They won't talk about themselves. This is the reason we have a lot of difficulty to know more about their history, about their life. Nowadays, when you print the book, 50% of the book is about the author, what he has to say. As soon as you get the book like this, you look at the backside. Here there will be everything about the author, isn't it? Vedic tradition, this wasn't there. First of all, there were no books. And even if there were any books written, that is considered to be not a good thing to talk about oneself. So the only exception to this is Sri Narada Maharshi. Vedavyasa and all, we can't get any information about him. Because in any book, he wrote so many books, nowhere he mentions about himself one word about himself. But, and same thing with Valmiki. Ramayanam also. He won't write anything about himself. this is the sages' way. They think that it is the, if they write, it is bad for their ego to come out in that way. So anyway, Narada Maharshi gives us a little bit about himself. Not a lot, very little. That's why he's an exception to this rule. So when he met Vedavyasa Maharshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi's knowing situation, what difficulties he was going through, he felt the need to tell about the topic what he has missed in Srimad Mahabharatam. When Mahabharatam was written, what is missed in the Mahabharatam, he had to say that to Vedavyasa Maharshi. So he mentioned that to Vedavyas, and Vedavyas has already realized in his own head that I missed something. I did not talk about the Absolute Truth, Krishna, properly. I have spoken a lot of things, lot of dharma, stri dharmam, purusha, man's duty, women's duty, king's duty, brahmana's duty, kshatriya's duty, vaishya duty, shudra duty, then brahmachari duty, grahastha duty, vanaprastha duty, sannyasa duty, all dharmam he wrote in the Mahabharatam, but he did not talk about Krishna enough. This has upset him a little bit. See, this is how, this why it is interesting is that Vedavyasa Maharshi's distress, the answer came from within, where he went wrong. Nobody else came and told him. This is how all the sages are. When they are in distress, they will get the answer directly from the Super Soul. They can get it. That's how they conduct their life. Whenever they are in distress, they can go and reflect on things and the answer will come from within, without any external. Our nature is, as soon as we have a problem, we go discussing everyone all over the world, isn't it, to find the solution. But Vedavyasa Maharshi, that's why it is called Andarmukhatvam. Andarmukhatvam means how to look inwards, inward-looking nature. That was very much in him. So he refers to that and he says there. And then afterwards, Vedavyasa is saying that Krishna has given me the answer. Now let me see, wait and see what's going to happen. It is at that time he heard the sound of Veena, the instrument. Narada Maharshi arrives on the scene. And then there is a mutual discussion between Sri Narada Maharshi and Vedavyasa Maharshi, which is that fifth chapter. And that is where you will notice something, very, very important things mentioned in that chapter. And there he says that Jugupsidam dharmakradeyanu shasadam subhavaraktasya mahan vidikramaha yad vakyado dharma ididarastido na nanyade tasya nivaranam tanam. He says, the people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy and you have encouraged them in the name of religion. In the name of religion. This is verily condemned and is quite unreasonable, because they are guided under your instructions. They will accept such activities in the name of religion and will hardly care for prohibitions. See the point. Jugupsidam dharma kradenu shasanam. In the name of dharma, what this is, Narada Maharshi is gave a good slap on Vedavyasa's cheek. He lifted him and gave a good slap. He says, you spoke all this dharmam to the world, but what the people have gone and done, they've read your book, and Mahabharatam they read. You know what they understood first thing? If the two brothers are fighting, there is no harm if they fight and kill each other and get the property, what they want to get out of the other brother. So people started understanding like this. They started saying that this Duryodhana, Pandavas and Kauravas are brothers, aren't they? And after reading Mahabharatam, people have started saying, look at them, what they have done. Krishna is saying that, yes, fight, kill them, and get to the property out of them, what you are entitled for. People understood like this. This is called Viparita Bhavana. That's why I'm saying that out of the four kinds of listeners, the first one, he sleeps. He won't hear anything. He just sleeps through the whole time. The second category, who listens, but he will misunderstand everything. He will misunderstand everything. Mahabharatam is saying something, but he will come to his own strange conclusions he will come to after studying the book. And this is one of the examples. It's called in Shastram Viparita Bhavana. Viparita Bhavana means something not correct, but you will misunderstand everything in the wrong way. In the wrong way. So that is also a listener. He is also a listener, but his conclusions will all be wrong. For example, when he goes to hear someone, what he will do is, he will hear from the person and he will find out, is he reading the verses correctly? Or is there any mistakes in the grammar mistakes in what he is saying? There are people who are researching Srimad Bhagavatam and finding out Vedavyasa Maharshi has got a lot of grammar mistakes in the Bhagavatam. So they criticize him for that. Same thing in the Bhagavad Gita also. Grammatically there are mistakes. But there is other side to it which they don't know. What happens is these people, they come. This is called Viparita Bhavana. Viparita Bhavana means you are hearing something and you are getting into all wrong conclusions from the Shastra. That is Viparita Bhavana. So the first one comes, sleeps, goes back. No harm to anyone. He just listens and sometimes he falls asleep and he goes. Nothing works for him at that stage. Second category is the one who comes and misunderstands everything and goes away. And then there is a third category who hears everything and he will reproduce everything. He will reproduce everything. Krishna is concerned, even these three are all not up to the mark. The only one he accepts is the one who hears and it goes directly straight into the heart. It's he who gets the benefit from everything. Everything what he heard from the Bhagavatam. So out of this four, this category of these people who listens and who misunderstands things, that is what Vedavyas is saying. Our Narada Maharshi is saying to Vedavyas, you wrote all this Mahabharatam, you gave it to this world, they have read it and they have misunderstood the whole thing. Because of the complexity of dharmam. Dharmam is a very difficult thing in this world. To correctly say what is dharmam. Sometimes it is so baffling. Even in all levels, if you look at in this world, you will see that the dharmam, what is spoken by one person, is what is dharmam in one religion is adharmam in another religion. Isn't it? Or what is considered to be correct in one place is considered to be wrong in another place. You can give so many examples for that. So, therefore, dharmam is a difficult thing. So, Narada Maharshi says to the Vedavyas, Jugupsidam. Jugupsidam means it's disgusting what you have done with dharmam in the Mahabharatam. Jugupsidam dharma kradenu shasanam, he says there. So, after all saying this, if you can read through this fifth chapter purports from Prabhupada, you will know a lot of things about that important discussion between Vedavyas and Narada Maharshi. This fifth chapter in the first canto. Each one of those verses are important. And there he says also, Nashkarmam abhi achyuda bhava varjidam na shobade jnanam alam niranjanam. That Nashkarmya buddhi, that after executing in this world a lot of karmam, achyuda bhava varjidam, he has done all the karmam in this world without caring for Krishna. What good is it, he is saying. What good is it in this world, engaging in so much karmam without knowing that achyuta bhavam. Achyuta bhavam means without Krishna consciousness. He has done his lot of things in this world. Good things, bad things, dharmam, adharmam, everything he has done. But there is no achyuta bhavam inside. Nashkarmam api achyuta bhava varjidam na shobhade jnanam alam niranjanam. Nashobhade jnanam. That person's knowledge is never complete. He will never understand what is meant to be understood from the Shastram. Na shobade jnanam alam niranjanam kudapunasya ashudabhadram ishvare. If when it is like that, what kudapunasya ashudabhadram ishvare? When it is like that, completely inauspicious things people are performing. And what chance is there for him to realize anything better? So, we'll not go into that chapter too much because that is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And one instruction Narada Maharshi told Vedavyas like this. He said, Vedavyas Maharshi, now you should write about Krishna. About Krishna. Don't get too involved in this dharmam. Dharmam, adharmam and all we can sort out later. Let people take shelter of Krishna. Let people take shelter of Krishna and they will come to the right track at the end. They will get there. So this guarantee he gave to Vedavyas. How did he say then? Tadvad visargam janadhaga viplavo yasmin pradishlogam abadhavatyavi namani ananda seshongidani yal shrinvandi gayandi grinandi sadhava. Tadvad visargo janadhaga viplavo. That if you write about Krishna, yes, mean pratishlogam abadhavatyabhi, even if there are a lot of mistakes in that, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. What is important is that you write about Krishna. that you write about Krishna, what you have to say. Grammar mistakes and other mistakes are not important, he says there. Parishlokam abaddhavatyabhi. Why? Namani, namani anandase yashongidaniyal. That Supreme Personality, Krishna, who has millions of names, yashongidaniyal, and who is glorified throughout the world for through different names, shrinvandi, people are hearing these holy names, gayandi, and they are singing these holy names, grinandi, and they are memorizing them, sadhava, all the devotees. They sing these glories. So, please explain this to the world about chanting the holy name. He says this to Vedavyasa Maharshi. So, after understanding this message from Narada Maharshi, Vedavyas compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. That you know, that we have talked about that in the Bhagavatam classes. First canto, fifth chapter. So, there you have seen Sri Narada Maharshi Vedavyas conversation. Second canto, you saw Lord Brahma instructing Narada Maharshi, three chapters, the summary of Srimad Bhagavatam. And after that, he told Narada Maharshi, Idam Bhagavatam Namam, this Bhagavatam, what I have given it to you, he says, Puranam Brahma Samidam, that it has been authorized by Lord Brahma himself. Samgrahoyam Vibhu Leenam, that I've given it to you in a very condensed form. Who is saying this? Brahma is saying to Narada Maharshi, Sangrahoyam Vibhulinam, and then expand that to the rest of the world. Expand that thing into the whole world. He says there, like that, to. Tomedat Vibhuli Guru. Take this Bhagavatam, what I have given it to you, and you expand that to the rest of the world. So you may wonder, when Brahma says like this to Narada Maharshi, how come he says like this, that you expand it? That is the secret of Bhagavatam. That when the great sages, when they are expanding Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam is unlimited. It is what we have, 18,000 verses in this world, is only a small part of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is read in the Kailasam, in Lord Shiva's abode. It is read in Vaikuntham, Mahavishnu's abode. And it is read in Satyalokam, Brahma's abode, everywhere. They take much longer time to read Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not these 18,000 verses, a lot more than that. Because Bhagavatam, what is spoken in the spiritual world, is a lot more than what we have got here. So, there you will see, that is why Brahma says to Narada Maharshi, the Bhagavatam what he heard was the Bhagavatam from the Satyalokam. That's where he heard Bhagavatam, not here. So, Deva Goswami's Bhagavatam came much later. So, that Bhagavatam, what you have heard here, take it down and expand that and give it to the rest of the world. He says, Samgrahayam Vibhulinam Tvamedal Vibhuli Guru, he says. And, Yada Harer Bhagavadi Nranam Bhaktir Bhavishyadi Sarvatman Akhiladharam Iti Sangalpavarnayah. He says there, Yada Harer Bhagavadi. You should expand in such a way that somehow or the other people should get attracted to Krishna and bhakti should develop in their heart. That is the goal. Yadha harer bhagavadi nranam bhaktir bhavishyadi. These are all in the Bhagavatam only. So Deva Goswami is saying this to Parishad. Yadha harer bhagavadi nranam bhaktir bhavishyadi. Why? Sarvatmanya khiladaram. What is that Krishna talking about? The soul who is present in everybody's heart. Sarvatmanya khiladharam. Because here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he talks about only one topic. As far as Bhagavatam is concerned, there is only one topic to discuss in this world. What is that? The soul. Nothing else. There is no discussion about body, mind, intelligence, ego or senses. These are not topics to be discussed at all. The only topic to be discussed is Krishna, the soul. That's why it's said here. That Eda Harer Bhagavadi Nranam Bhaktir Bhavishyadi Sarvatman Akhila Adharam. That Sarvatman Akhila Adharam, that soul who is present in everyone, who is the very basis from whom everything has come. Iti Sangalpa Varnayaha. Explain that in such a way that people will understand that soul present in everyone, which we address as Krishna. So, in this way, he gave instructions to Narada Maharshi. So, he got that. And that is those three chapters in the second canto. Then, When you go into third canto, the appearance of Narada Maharshi is spoken. So as I mentioned before, first life was Gandharva. Second life was he got the birth in a servant maid's son, he was, isn't it? Narada Maharshi came as a son of a servant maid. And this servant maid had to maintain herself by doing service at different houses, in different people. And Narada Maharshi was 5 or 6 year old boy at that time. He was assisting his mother in his own capacity. And that's a part in the Bhagavadam where first time Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying that how association changes a person in life. Association changes a person in life. In one instance, the great sages came for their Chaturmasyam, as you know, for Chaturmasyam, the 4 months of rain. And at that time, the Brahmana families who invited them to stay in their house, the sages were living there. So they felt that to attend to those Brahmanas, or to the sages, the householder family, or the Brahmana family, in whose house Narada Maharshi's mother was working, was doing the service, they thought that Narada Maharshi will be a good attendant for them. 4 or 5 year old boy. He was wandering around, never went to school or anything, never studied anything, nothing was there. So they engaged Narada Maharshi to do the service, to looking after these sages who have come for Chaturmasyam. They were staying there for 4 months, these sages, and Narada Maharshi was deputed for looking after their needs. For example, he had to bring the water for them, for their spiritual activities, flowers, tulsi leaves, and so many other things, and attending to their all other needs. This was Narada Maharshi's duty. But Narada Maharshi, when he was doing that, at that time he has not become Narada Maharshi. He is just the son of this servant maid. And his job was to provide the services to that sages. The sages, after they have performed their morning duties, they sat together and talked about matters related to Krishna. And when they spoke to each other, Sri Narada Maharshi used to sit there. And they all noticed a great interest in Narada Maharshi's heart to listen to them, what they were discussing. He was just curious to know, what are they talking about? So he sat there listening to them, and it was then that the sages felt some compassion for him, and they started discussing about Krishna in a way that a child can understand. All the childhood pastimes they discussed, Krishna's childhood pastimes they discussed, and discussed in such a way that Narada Maharshi felt like listening. In other words, stories, all children are interested, isn't it? Children like the stories. When you tell them the stories, they like it. So, especially that age, 5, 6 year old. So, he wanted to hear the story and he wanted to find out about this child they are talking about Krishna's all childhood pastimes. These sages sat together and discussed in depth. Narada Maharshi heard all that, and Narada was thinking, who is this personality they are talking about? He would like to meet him. But 4 months have gone, and at the end of the 4 months, the sages were leaving the ashram. When they were going away, Sri Narada Maharshi felt very depressed because they were leaving. Who will tell us the stories now? This was Narada Maharshi's concern. So he was saying, who is going to tell us about the stories now? Saying this, Narada Maharshi started crying. He was feeling great depression because he had nothing else to do. He was just staying there. So the sages, fully knowing very well, they called him close to him. They called him very close and told him, put their hands on his head and told him that don't worry about anything. Everything will come out nicely. You remember all the stories what we have spoken to you? Remember that. Keep on thinking about those stories what I have spoken to you so far. Saying this, they blessed him and they left. As soon as they left, Narada Maharshi felt a great vacuum inside. They have gone, and they have gone means for them there is no more. For him, there was nothing more to hear about Krishna. There's no chance. And strange enough, Immediately one day, what happened was that one evening, the mother went to milk the cow. And while milking the cow, it was a Sandhya time, evening to twilight, you can say. Sun was just setting. And she didn't notice it, that while going to milk the cow, by mistake, put her foot on a snake. Snake bit her, and she died. That is, Narada Maharshi says, this was the greatest mercy Krishna has shown to me. The greatest mercy I got when Krishna did this to me, he says. Because now, he doesn't have to answer anyone. He can do what he wants, isn't it? Complete freedom to leave home. Left home, straight away, walked out from there. Then Narada Maharshi goes to the north, to the Himalaya side, and then spends his time in the forest to find out about Krishna. And you will see there beautiful discussion about Narada Maharshi's first vision of Krishna. First time he is seeing Krishna there. He sat there and he was remembering that form, all the pastimes what they have spoken. Narada Maharshi did not think about that as pastimes. He thought that Krishna was there and he had played like this and he was absorbed in the games what Krishna has played in this world. So hearing all these things, Sri Narada Maharshi goes there and thinks about all these pastimes what he heard from the sages. And in that meditation, by now his dhyanam or meditation has become very deep inside. When that happened, first thing Krishna did was he appeared inside Narada Maharshi. You can see the similarity in all these cases. He appears inside first, and Narada Maharshi was in a great ecstasy after seeing Krishna inside, and great bliss also. Suddenly Krishna withdrew, as it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you remember in the third canto, a meditation, when it reaches a certain stage, Krishna withdraws the form from inside. And then he appears outside the form. It was then that Narada Maharshi opened the eyes and looked and saw Krishna standing outside. And Krishna says to him that, I will not appear anymore. This is the last time you will see me in this life. The rest of the lifetime, you can wander around in this world. Arabdha karma nirvanam nepatal panchabhautikam. That is what he says to him. Panchabhautikam means this material body, made of 5 material elements. This material body is based on prarabdham. Prarabdham means prarabdha karma. That means due to our karma and karma vasana, this body has come into existence. This body, when the prarabdham is over, when the karma is finished, this body will drop on its own. Without asking us, without asking our permission, or without asking us as it has come, it will leave us also in the same way. So, arabdha karma nirvanam nyabadal panchabhautikaha. That panchabhautika deham or this material body will leave. So, Narada Maharshi started thinking, when will that happen? Can you imagine? He was thinking, when will death come? Every night, because Krishna has told him that when the prarabdham is over, body will go. Till that time, you have to wait. After that, you can come back to me, he says. So, Sri Narada Maharshi, at that time, asking every night, he will sleep in the night and wake up in the morning. When he wakes up, he is asking the question, oh, you didn't come last night, did you? He is telling the death, why did you not take me away? That was Narada Maharshi's prayers at that time. In this way, that life continued. Narada Maharshi says that at the end of that kalpam, I went back to Lord Brahma. That means devastation happened and he goes to Lord Brahma. And then his next birth is what he comes as Narada Maharshi. So these three births, Ubabarhana as Gandharva, and this little boy as a servant maid's son, and now as Narada Maharshi, he comes back. And that appearance is what is spoken about in the third canto. Among the other sages, Mariji, Atri, Angiras, Pulasti, Pulaha, Kridu, Bhrigu, Vasishta, Daksha, and Dashamastatra Narada, 10th one is Narada Maharshi. So all this thing is in the third canto. Then, if you go into the fourth canto, you will see it begins with Narada Maharshi. Who? For the first 6 chapters in the fourth canto is what is that? The famous known as Lord Shiva and Daksha. That fight, isn't it? Daksha and Lord Shiva, that big fight happened. And Daksha was smashed. All his pride was gone. And offending Lord Shiva ended up in great disaster for him, isn't it? Shiva says to him, you have this goat's head from now on. So Daksha was wandering around with a goat's head on his head. He was walking around with this goat's head. So all that thing happened. And at that time, Sri Narada Maharshi goes to Lord Shiva and glorifies him and says to him, they have committed big blunders by offending you. Show some mercy towards them. On behalf of Narada Maharshi, pleads on behalf of them to the Lord Shiva. That you will see there in the Daksha story. The King Daksha story you will see there. Then immediately after that, Narada Maharshi is very proud of talking about his direct disciple, Dhruva Maharaj. The next six chapters in the fourth canto, it's all about Dhruva Maharaj story. Six chapters. He is his first initiated disciple. And he's also the disciple he tried, whether it will work or not. The spiritual realization what he had. Narada Maharshi wanted to test everything. He thought, instructing these old people are all useless. They will never hear, they will never understand. He felt the need. Because he said that you instruct the older person, he finds it very hard to change, first thing. Isn't it? Very hard to change. That's the most difficult thing. For example, suppose we have a 2-hour discussion from Bhagavatam. And in these 2 hours, if you discuss about 1 hour and 3/4, all about important matters in spiritual life, and about 15 minutes, if we discuss some jokes, politics, and stories and all that, when you leave this room, this 15 minutes will stay in your head. That 1 3/4 what you have spoken will not stay. Will not stay. This is practically, that's how it is. That's the way the life is. Our nature is like that. Suppose we have discussed 1 3/4 hours mundane topics about the world outside, and 15 minutes serious topic from Bhagavatam. When you leave the room, all this 1 3/4 will be there. The 15 minutes won't be there. This is the way the mind is. That's the way the mind is. They know that. The sages know this very well. Our weaknesses. This is how it is. And it is there that to get this message through is very, very difficult. No matter we keep on hearing Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling us that this life is not worthwhile worrying about many things except self-realization. He is pushing this point to us, but we are still thinking, there is a time for that at the old age when everything is over. Krishna is saying at the old age it's not going to happen because it's too late then. Nothing can be done about it. So Narada Maharshi, knowing all these things, he felt the need, let me test this on a child, whether it works or not. So he gave up on the older people and went to caught hold of this Dhruva Maharaj first. And even then Narada Maharshi says, even that is too late. 5-year-old boy. He says, even that is too late. You should get him when he's in the womb itself, before he comes out. That is why he gave up on Dhruva also, and then caught hold of Prahlada later. While within the womb, he caught hold of Prahlada. Because once you come out, then Maya will catch you straight away. Maya will take care after that. So knowing this very well, Dhruva Maharaj's case, he was doing the first test. So what happened? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, all mantra was given, the form to be remembered for meditation that was given, how to conduct the meditation, all that was spoken. But when the 6 months of austerities were over, when Krishna appeared, Dhruva Maharaj was asked what would Dhruva Maharaj's desire was, 36,000 years he wants to rule the planet. So the material desire has not left him still. It is still there very much. So seeing this, Sri Narada Maharshi thought that I have to find somebody else now. If he has more or less given up on people like us. He feels this is a hopeless situation. There's nothing I can do about them, he says. Because they will hear, it goes in, goes out. Nothing else will happen with them. So it is because of this that he says to Dhruva Maharaj's case that 6 chapters in the 4th canto is Sri Narada Maharshi and Dhruva Maharaj. Where you can see Narada Maharshi's concerted effort to get Dhruva Maharaj into spiritual life, seriously. So, then you in the same 4th canto, you will see one important topic, Puranjana story. if you remember, Puranjana Upakhyanam. It's a famous one. And Prajina Barahis, who was completely caught up in the process of this Yajnam, or in the Karmagandam section of the Vedas, he goes there to instruct Prajina Barahis and tells him about this allegorical story of Puranjana. That is coming from Narada Maharshi. It's an allegorical story. But through that story, Narada Maharshi in five long chapters, that too, in the fourth canto, talks about King Puranjana and the Puranjana Upakhyanam, it is called, which is in the Bhagavadam, you can read. So again in the fourth canto, you can see Narada Maharshi's presence all the way through. Dhrumaharaj's episode and Puranjana Upakhyanam. On fifth canto, when it comes, Narada Maharshi hasn't got involved very much. He kept out of it for whatever reason it may be. He didn't, because fifth canto is sthanam. Sthanam means what? Sthanam means those who are not sargam, visargam, sthanam. Sargam is third canto, visargam is fourth, and sthanam is the fifth canto. Sthanam means that those who do not want to follow the instructions, shastric injunctions, for them a separate place is kept for them to go to. And that is what is discussed in the fifth canto. Narada Maharshi felt there was no involvement for me here, so he stayed away. But as soon as the sixth canto started, Sri Narada Maharshi comes back again. And immediately after Ajamila's story, you will see there that this famous episode of Chitrakedu and Vritrasura. If you remember, the Chitrakedu was a great king, and he had this many wives, had no children. And the result of that was he was very much in a distress. A great Kshatriya king wanted to have a successor after that. So because of that, Sri Narada Maharshi and Angiras goes there. And there is that discussion in the Bhagavadam, you can read between them. And at that point, Sri Narada Maharshi says to this king Chitrakedu that you must give up this attachment for the family life and to children. But Chitrakedu won't listen. Ultimately, he was given this benefit of having a son. And the Kridajidi, his wife, had this baby who was poisoned by the co-wives. And then the boy dies, the child dies. And then Chitrakedu felt great grief and then goes to the forest. And all that story you will find there. So there, what has happened was, Sri Narada Maharshi instructs there about spiritual life. He says to him, Jandu, the name given to us is Jandu. Jiva, in the conditioned form. So, and again, that story of Vritrasura and Chitrakedu, both. Chitrakedu's previous life was, Chitrakedu had to fall into the situation of Vritrasura. And that story, you will see Narada Maharshi appearing very often in that also. And then after the sixth canto, when the seventh canto came, Narada Maharshi thought, I'm not going to allow anybody to talk. It's my best disciple and the most successful disciple in the process of bhakti, Prahlada. His story, I have to say, he says. So he even told Sudeva Goswami to stay away. From the Bhagavatam, if you look, Sudeva Goswami didn't speak the seventh canto. It's all Narada Maharshi speaking. Narada Vacha it is. Everything is Narada Maharshi saying, the seventh canto. So in seventh canto, it's only Narada Maharshi, nobody else. Out of the total, I think it is 15 chapter, 11 chapters relates to story of Prahlada and Narasimhamurthy, isn't it? And the remaining 4 chapters is all about the Varnashama Dharmam. And that also Narada Maharshi speaks. So whole of 7th canto is completely in Narada Maharshi's control. Narada Maharshi has taken whole control of the 7th canto. Because he felt the need to glorify his own disciple Prahlada, and the success he reached in his spiritual life through bhakti. Prahlada's bhakti is famous, isn't it? In Srimad Bhagavatam, if you keep gopis away, a personality who has had that purity inside, what Prahlada had. From Prahlada came Mahabali later. If you remember, it is his grandson Mahabali, who, remembering his grandfather, how surrendered he was, Prahlada Mamandra Namaschagara. In the Bhagavatam you will see there that Mahabali says to, before he went to conquer the heavenly planets, he goes to, Mahabali goes to Prahlada and pays his obeisances to Prahlada. Prahlada blesses him with the hand. Prahlada blessing means what? Blessing from Narasimha Murthy, isn't it? Narasimha's blessing is Prahlada's blessings. Such a devotee he was. So you can see Mahabali's success is due to this grandfather Prahlada. Prahlada's mercy, that is. So after that, this whole incident, what happened, in 11 chapters he discusses Prahlada's story, and in the 4 chapters about Varnashrama Dharma. Then if you go into the 8th canto, again Narada Maharshi comes there. When demigods and demons fought each other, the big war, who made a compromise there? It was Narada Maharshi got involved and made peace between the two groups. And then in the 9th canto, we have all the stories of the great kings dynasty. Narada Maharshi doesn't seem to appear very much. But as soon as 10th canto comes, Narada Maharshi starts his actions. He is the personal representative of Krishna. Throughout that appearance and all the pastimes in the Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, you will see Narada Maharshi present all the way through, right from the appearance. The appearance part you must read very well, because there Sri Narada Maharshi's role is so well known. You see, like this, Vasudeva and Devaki got married. They were being carried away in the chariot by Kamsa. Kamsa was carrying them in the chariot. So when they were going in the chariot, there was a great jubilation. People were celebrating the marriage. Suddenly from the sky, this announcement came that the 8th child of Devaki Devi will kill you. Isn't it? As soon as Kamsa heard that, immediately he decided to kill Devaki and took the sword and came out to kill her. So, here in the Bhagavatam, if you observe very clearly, you will see Krishna's appearance is more distressful than Ramchandra's appearance. Have you noticed that? When Ramchandra appeared, Dasharatha Maharaj had a lot of difficulty. He has to perform this putragameshti, sacrifice everything, and eventually Ramchandra appeared. But unfortunately, after that, Ramchandra had to go to forest, and there's a lot of things in Ramchandra's story, Ramayanam, if you read, a lot of unhappy events in Ramayanam. But if you look at Krishna's appearance, it's much more distressful. Why? If you'll see there, Vasudeva and Devaki, what they had to go through with Kamsa. Isn't it? If you think about that, the first 6 children had to be killed by Kamsa. Isn't it? Kamsa had decided to kill all the 6. And the 6 children had to be killed before Krishna appeared. Balaram appeared as the 7th and Krishna appeared as the 8th. Now, why all this? If you have to get Krishna as your son, if you have to go through all these kind of distresses, is it worthwhile? You may ask this question, isn't it? There is no guarantee that Krishna is going to... There's a lot of things in this Bhagavatam story, some important message there. Generally, our attachment to this world is through 3 sources, 3 means or 3 routes it goes through. One, through the wealth. Everyone is attached to their wealth, isn't it? Whatever wealth one has is attached to their wealth. Fearful, always if the wealth is in there, what will happen to me? So, it is called Viteshana. Viteshana means it is that wealth that is giving him that false shelter in this world. The second one is called Putreshana or Dareshana. Putreshana means attachment to one's own children, son or daughter or whatever way it is. There is strong attachment, very strong attachment inside everyone. And thirdly, Lokeshana. Lokeshana means desire for fame and recognition in the society. These are all our attachments in this world. If you look into Bhagavatam carefully, you will see there, Vasudeva and Devaki were praying to Krishna 3 lifetimes before. What was the prayer? Prayer was that you should come as our son. You should come as our son. 3 times they prayed. Krishna said yes. All, when you pray to Krishna, Krishna's approach is, every time you ask, pray something, Krishna will say, Tathastu. Or let it be like that, he will say. So, but problem is that we pray to Krishna all the wrong things. The right thing we won't pray, and the result is that Krishna will give it to us all the wrong thing also. What we have asked, this is what you have asked, so I'm giving it to you, he will say. So the same thing happened. In three lifetimes, Krishna has come as their son, isn't it? Yes, you know. Prishnigarbha or Sutapas, the first one. Second one, he came as Vamanamurti, and now the last one is Krishna. Krishna noticed that in this third lifetime of Vasudeva and Devaki, Vasudev's problem for his attachment to children hasn't gone. You understand what I'm saying? Attachment to children is so strong. Vasudev was so strongly attached to his own children, which is known as Putreshana. This Putreshana was so strong in Vasudev, Krishna felt the need that when they are very attached, you can only destroy it by giving some heavy blow. And this is the reason why the first six children were slaughtered by Kamsa. Just to make Vasudev free from this attachment. Just to get that attachment broken, he had to do this. Krishna had to do this. That's why the first six who came, and up to the last minute, Kamsa avoided killing them. And eventually one day, all six were brought in, right in front of Vasudev and Devaki. They were killed. They were killed. It was for this reason. In order to get rid of Vasudeva's Putreshana. Vasudeva's attachment to the children was so strong. Vasudeva was very fond of the children and he wanted the attachment can get to that level. Sometimes Asakti it is called. When it comes to that state, it's called Asakti. Attachment is there, but you also have to know where to leave it. Otherwise, it will get into this state. Attachment will develop and it will become a cause of destruction later. So knowing this very well, Vasudeva had to go through that. Same time, Krishna's understanding was, Krishna's plan was, while this was happening to Vasudeva and Devaki, let Kamsa learn to meditate upon me through fear. So he gave him 12 years time for Kamsa. Krishna could have killed Kamsa straight away when he wanted to. But he didn't kill him. Instead, he made him frightened that I'm going to come. And kill you one day. In this fear, that meditation developed in Kamsa. Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kamsa, they are all asuras, isn't it? They are all demonic nature they have. But then what is the difference between Hiranyakashipu and Kamsa? Have you noticed the difference? They are all demons, but demons also there is difference. You see, when Hiranyakashipu felt the need, what did he do first thing? He went to perform penances. Austerities and penances. He wanted to get himself strong. Kamsa was not capable of doing that. He wasn't capable of doing that. All he knew was, as soon as he heard where the source is going to come, let me kill that. That was his plan. So because he was like that, Hiranyakashipu's approach won't work with Kamsa. Krishna knows this very well. Krishna knew very well that when Hiranyakashipu went for performing penances, he knew how Hiranyakashipu will come back. And how to deal with Hiranyakashipu. He knew that very well. But in Kamsa's case, you can't do anything like that. Why? Because Kamsa doesn't have that straight feeling like Hiranyakashipu had for Krishna. Hiranyakashipu hated Krishna. Isn't it? So at least that hate was his strength. That is his process of devotional service. That hate towards Krishna. That was his strength. Similarly, Kamsa doesn't have any hate also. So what to do? So the next option is to create fear in his mind. So, Gopya Kamal Bhayal Kamsa Deshya Chaidyadayo Nurbha Sambandho Vrishnaya Snehal Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam Vibho. In Bhagavadam, the Bhagavata Dharmam is like this. Somehow or the other, we have to have a relationship with Krishna. Doesn't matter either you hate or you abuse him or you are frightened of him. Or you are inimical towards him, or you love him, or you have devotion to him, doesn't matter. There has to have some relationship. The problem we all have is we have no relationship. That is the problem. That's what Bhagavatam is telling us. Bhagavatam is telling us that you have to have some relationship with Krishna. Doesn't matter what it is. If that relationship becomes mature in full steam ahead, at some point in time, we will become so absorbed in Krishna that Krishna will take the action and we will get released from this body, material body once for all. This is the principle of Krishna consciousness, or Bhagavata Dharma in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, there was not much you could do with Ravana or Hiranyakashipu or with Kamsa. They all were different. Shishubala hated Krishna. So, Shishubala has to have increased their hate towards Krishna somehow or the other. And our Ravana was completely a different nature. He wanted to fight. So, Ravana had to be fought with. So, like this, Gopyam, Gopis had their relationship with Krishna in a different way. Gopya Kamal. Payal Kamsa. Out of fear, Kamsa. And so, all these things you can see that happened prior to birth, Krishna's appearance in this world, these ideas and all these ideas were discussed between Krishna and Narada Maharshi. That is how Narada Maharshi gets involved in the Krishnavadaram, Krishna's appearance, how Krishna gets, Narada Maharshi gets involved. So Krishna realizes that preparing Kamsa to death, first job, getting ready to death, that took a while. That's why, otherwise, why should Krishna appear as the eighth son? Could he not have appeared as the first son itself and finished the business? But he didn't do that. He gave some time for Kamsa to develop that fear sufficient. These are more important than anything else. We think that, oh, they had to go through all this torture. Why? They had to go through the torture. Why? To teach us that Viteshana, Putreshana, Logeshana, all this will all bounce back one day. If we develop asakti, asakti means excessive attachment in this world to anything, doesn't matter who it is, ultimately we'll have to pay heavy price for that. So to develop that detachment and mood of renunciation from this world, Krishna had to put this episode together between Vasudeva, Devaki and Kamsa. And this whole episode, when you read that, you feel very depressed about that, because Vasudeva and Devaki, they were Krishna's parents. And they had to go through this, that first six children were, they were killed right in front of their eyes. Not only that, they had to stay in the prison for such a long time to be the parents of Krishna. So much distress in the Krishnavadaram, Krishna's appearance you notice there. Narada Maharshi had a great role in all these things. When Krishna invited all the demigods and all the sages to come, when he appeared, Krishna appeared here, they all appeared in this world in the form of cowherd men, gopis. They were all different sages who had come here, isn't it? Rishijaris and demigods and the women from heavenly planets who have come as gopis here. Krishna did not invite Narada Maharshi for the appearance. Narada Maharshi thought, I am not invited. Let me make the feast big. If somebody is not invited, what you should do? You should go for the marriage if you are not invited. And you should act there as though you are the person in charge of everything. If you take control of the whole show, then people will think, oh, he must be the person who is doing everything. And exactly that's what Narada Maharshi did. He saw that he was not invited. So what he did was, he did this job of going to Kamsa and telling him everything, what's going on in the Goloka Vrindavan. What discussion is going on there, reporting to Kamsa all the time. This was his job. This is what he has done. In the Krishnavadaram, if you read, you will see interesting features like this. Every time he goes to Kamsa and says to him, what have you done? The thing is going to happen now. So Kamsa says, only the eighth child will kill me, isn't it? Kamsa, he says to Kamsa, you don't know. You haven't gone to school, he says. You don't know how to count, he says. This eighth child, how have you counted? The demigods have a different way of counting, he says. To Kamsa. How is that? Demigods count in a different way. How do they count? If you write the letters, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. If you start counting from the third letter, that becomes the first one then, isn't it? So the second one, actual second number, will become the eighth child. From where you start counting, it matters, isn't it? That's also matter. So by counting in the wrong way, you can make the first child also as the eighth child. Where you start counting? Now, there are eight letters. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So if you start counting from the eighth, the seventh child will become the eighth one, the last one, isn't it? So this jugglery all, Narada Maharshi says to Kamsa, all your calculations are wrong, he says. It is then that, because initially Kamsa left all the six children. He says, I don't have to be frightened about them. It's only the eighth one who is going to kill me. Isn't it? Why should I worry about that? So when he heard all this confusion, what Narada Maharshi created in his mind, immediately he calls all of them, bring them all here, he said. And right in front of Vasudeva, killed all of them. All six, seven, eight, or seven and eight, he couldn't touch them. But the first six, he killed them straight away. So this is what happened. Narada Maharshi did all these things. And what else he did? Every time he goes back to Goloka Vrindavanam, there Radharani and Krishna is discussing. When Kamsa decided not to kill the children, Krishna says to Radharani that I think Kamsa is changing. Kamsa is changing. His mood is getting better. Looks that he is becoming a gentleman now. Seems to be he is giving up all his demoniac nature. So Narada Maharshi felt the anxiety. Krishna may delay the appearance then. Go straight to Kamsa to report the matter. Says to him, in that instance, there is a top mentions there in the Bhagavadam, sometimes demons also does sometimes good things. Once in a way, they will do something good. And when they do that good thing, everybody starts thinking, ah, he has changed. But as he has not changed, nothing has changed. He is a demon. He will act as a demon. What has happened is, suddenly something by chance, they do something good. So Vasudev knew this, that he let them off in the beginning with all the six children, knowing very well one day Kamsa can call back again and kill them all. Vasudev knew that very well. So in the Bhagavadam, that is spoken about that also. So what I'm saying is, throughout appearance, Narada Maharshi has a big role. Narada Maharshi has a big role in that whole appearance pastimes. And then if you move on further in the Bhagavadam, you will see there are two personalities, Nalaguvera and Manigriva. If you know that story, one day Krishna was tied to the mortar, and after that pastime of Damodara Leela, when he was tied to the mortar, at the end, after Yashoda Devi had to go through all that problems with Krishna, Krishna pulled the mortar between the two trees and the two trees fell. And there appeared these two great personalities, Nalakuvera and Manigriva. They were the children of Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods. And that story is also telling us that these two boys, out of their pride, you can imagine their state. The children of the richest people in the world, creation, Kubera's children. So that means what? The pride due to the wealth. The best education they had, whatever education they had at that time. And beauty-wise, they were very beautiful. Kubera's children, wasn't it? Kubera is Lord Shiva's devotee. Everything what you can imagine will create pride inside. They had it. They had it. And they come. And when Narada Maharshi was traveling in Mandakini River, where they were bathing with all other apsaras women, when they were bathing naked, and when they saw Narada Maharshi, all the women covered themselves with the clothes. But because these two, Nalagavera and Manigriva, they were intoxicated, they were drunk, they did not cover themselves with any clothes. Narada Maharshi felt very offended. And he cursed them, saying that, you become two trees now. Go and stand there in Vrindavanam. And when Krishna appears, he will release you. Till then you stand there. The punishment for this offense, what they have done to Narada Maharshi. So you can see, although a punishment was given, when Narada Maharshi punishes somebody, it never goes in waste. It always ends up in something better for them. Because of that, they recognize that who? These two, Nalagavera and Manigriva, when Krishna appeared there, you should read that glorification of Krishna in the Bhagavadam, how they have glorified Krishna. First they were glorifying Krishna for a long time, Krishna wouldn't look at them even. Didn't want to even hear about them. But as soon as they mentioned about Narada Maharshi's name, immediately Krishna started listening. That attachment to Krishna's devotee of Narada Maharshi immediately started listening to him, to the Alagavera and Manigriva, and Krishna says to them to go back to their old place where they came back from. So like that you can see in the 10th canto is full of Narada Maharshi. You have to read through Bhagavatam all the time. Rajasuyam sacrifice. When that happened, Yudhishthira Maharaj, who decided Krishna should be invited to the Rajasuyam? It was Narada Maharshi's decision. Narada Maharshi told Yudhishthira Maharaj, that when Krishna was in Dwaraka, Sri Narada Maharshi goes to Yudhishthira Maharaj and says to him, should we not honor Krishna one day here? And that is how Rajasuyam was planned. Big sacrifice, Rajasuyam sacrifice. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was thinking, how can I invite Krishna? After all, he is so powerful and he is the lord of Dwaraka. And finding it very difficult, Narada Maharshi says to Yudhishthira, I'll go and invite him personally. And Narada Maharshi comes to invite Krishna for Rajasuyam sacrifice. This is another important thing Narada Maharshi has done. Again, after that, what do you find? In Rajasuyam sacrifice is the seed for Mahabharata war was sown. And Narada Maharshi knew all these things were going to happen. And prior to leaving Vrindavanam, the last demon who came to get killed by Krishna was Keshi. Isn't it? Keshi was the last demon who came there. So when Keshi was killed, Krishna killed Keshi demon, and at that time Narada Maharshi comes there, says Keshavaya Nama. And what does he do? He says to Krishna all what Krishna is going to do in the future. He says there at that stage, before all the things have happened. Rajasuyam sacrifice, Mahabharata war, later on establishing in Dwaraka, so many things. Narada Maharshi in advance has spoken in the 10th canto, if you study the killing of Keshi demon. At that point he says, does it not show that all these things were planned by Krishna and Narada much before than they have come here? Is it not an indication of that? So this is what I am saying, that Narada Maharshi is a personal representative of Krishna in this world. He had come here and he had his role to play in those past times. And you will see at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, the last but most important thing was what? Narada Maharshi instructed Krishna's parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, about transcendental knowledge. Through what? Nimi Navayogi Samvadam. If you remember, the Nimi, King Nimi, and the nine children of Rishabhadev, Kavihari, Andarisha, Prabuddha, Pippalayanan, Ayurhota, Drumala, Chamasa, Karavajana. The nine sages, discussions with Nimi, the whole thing was repeated by Narada Maharshi to Vasudeva and Devaki, and helped Vasudeva and Devaki to understand the truth. So, the last service to Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam from Narada Maharshi. So, when you study Bhagavatam, you cannot keep Narada Maharshi out of it. He is the most integral part of Bhagavatam, that in all pastimes he is present in some form or the other. Right from the canto 1, right up to the end, he is present there in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, through Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Maharshi has some message to give it to this world. And that is how this Bhakti Sutram has come to us. We got this Bhakti Sutram in this way. So, we can see here that when he begins Bhakti Sutram, he tells us certain things that Ada Bhaktiyam Vyakhyasyama, he says. I will now, like Vedanta Sutram begins with Adhato Brahma Jinyasa. Here he says, Adha Bhaktim Vyakhyasyama. He says, I will comment on Bhakti. That is how he begins his first Sutram. That is the first Sutram in the Narada Bhakti Sutram. He says here that Hari Om Parabhakti Swarupam. Parabhakti means the superior devotion, proper devotion, Parabhakti. We talked about that. He says here, Hari Om, Adhado Bhaktim Vyakhyasyama. I will now talk about Bhakti. He begins like that. And in there, he also says there that, the letter I is important. Because if you remember in the Bhagavad Gita, Aksharanam Akara Usmi, A. The letter A has a special significance because it's the first letter, A. And without A, many other words cannot stay. Every word has a letter A in there, isn't it? A comes somehow or the other. So, Aksharanam Akara Usmi. So, there, important point was that Narada Maharshi received transcendental knowledge through Sanat Kumara Maharshi. That I spoke about before. Chandogya Upanishad is through Sanat Kumara Maharshi. Narada Maharshi received Bhagavata Dharma from Lord Brahma. Upanishad's knowledge he received from Sanat Kumara Maharshi. Bhagavata Dharma he received from Lord Brahma. Knowing, comparing these two, Narada Maharshi thought, for people in the age of Kali will find it very difficult to follow the process of knowledge. And therefore, he taught Bhagavata Dharma to all the disciples in Kali. To everybody, he instructed through Srimad Bhagavatam, he gave importance to Bhagavata Dharma, not to the process of knowledge. Not to the process of knowledge. And that is how you conclude in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you find there, when he instructed the nine sages, Kavihari and all that to Nimi, they are talking about Bhagavata Dharma. Isn't it? They are not talking about the self-realization through the process of knowledge. It's mostly related to the Bhagavata Dharma. So, Bhagavata Dharma is what Narada Maharshi wanted to propagate in this world. It is Bhagavata Dharma he wanted to propagate in this world. Bhagavata Dharma is nothing but Krishna consciousness. That's what Bhagavata Dharma means. So, that is exactly what he wanted to propagate in this world. So, as a supplement to that proposal is Narada Bhakti Sutram has been spoken. Bharata Bhakti Sutram has been spoken. So, it is in this background that we have to understand Srimal, this Narada Bhakti Sutram. Komalam kujayan venam shamaloyam kumaraga vedavedya param brahma bhasadam puradomama. Sridharajarya Swamiji, when he writes his Srimal Bhagavatam commentary, he begins with these verses. He says, Komalam kujayan venam, Krishna with the flute in the hand, shamaloyam kumaraga, that beautiful personality, vedavedya param brahma. The truth, absolute truth, everyone is searching after. Vasadam purado mama. Let that personality manifest in front of me. Krishna, there, Sridharajari Swamiji says there. Jayadi jagadimayam yasya kayathavaste. Vachana rajanamegam kevalam chagalaya. That kayathava means prahlada. Kayadhu is prahlada's mother. Kayathava means prahlada. Kayadhu's son. Kayathava. That prahlada, who has escaped from Maya, by whose mercy? Vachana rajana megam kevalam chakalaya. And Dhruva padam abhiyado yal kripado dhruvayam. Dhruva Maharaj, how he escaped from this modes of material nature and got himself released from this bondage. Sakala kushala patram brahmaputram natosmi. That clever personality, expert in everything, expert spiritual master Sridharada Maharshi, who is the son of Lord Brahma, to him I pay my respectful obeisances. This is how in the Padmapuranam he is referred to, mentioned to. So you can see that Srinarada Maharshi's position, if you are studying Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, you have to know this personality well and understand Narada Maharshi's role in each time what he has played and the mercy he has shown to the devotees. When the sages curse someone, the end result will always be good. It's not like us. When we curse somebody, we want him to go to hell. Doesn't want him to never come back from there again. Let him go day after day, suffer more and kill himself. With a lot of vengeance and revenge, we curse others, isn't it? In this world, that's how we are. But when the sages do, when they curse somebody, they only have good intentions behind it. The end result will always be good. It will turn up to be the best for them. Like Nalagavera Manigriva, and there are so many other cases also. You will notice the same thing. That's the difference between sages cursing and us cursing. When we curse, they're gone. They will never retrieve from there. But when sages curse, you will see that they come out of it nicely. They will always be in a better situation. So I think we'll conclude it today. And they will continue next Saturday. We'll go into Bhakti Sutra more. And 84 sutras, I don't know how long it will take, but we can discuss it in the light of Bhagavadam. And you will see so many interesting... Without Bhagavadam, you can't discuss Narada Bhakti Sutra. And without Narada Bhakti Sutra, you can't discuss Bhagavadam. They are so close to each other. It is the same thing. What is in the Bhagavatam is what is in the Bhakti Sutram. But what Narada Maharshi has done is, what you are studying from Bhagavatam, and when you hear these pastimes and the tatum what is spoken in the Bhagavatam, Narada Maharshi has put it forward in a way that you can memorize them and understand a much more a greater clarity on bhakti. You get a much clearer understanding of bhakti when you hear Narada Bhakti Sutram. Bhakti Sutram can help you to understand what is bhakti. Because many things we understand, but we don't understand it in the way like the great sages have spoken about bhakti. He brings great authorities in there. Shandilya Maharshi, Garga Maharshi, Kaundinya, Varuni, Bhishma. All other authorities are brought into this. Apart from that, you also know among the 12 Mahajans, Sri Narada Maharshi is the second personality after Lord Brahma. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kabilo, Manu, Prahlada, Janago, Bhishma, Bali, Vyasaki. So all these Mahajans, among them, he has been given the second position. So there is no other authority who can talk about bhakti like Sri Narada Maharshi, even considered above Lord Shiva, isn't it? So that is his position. So so what should we have now? Kirtan, or what should we do?
We can have kirtan, and later he wants to tell you prasadam and kirtan afterwards, carry on for a couple hours.
We'll have a 10-minute kirtan, and then they can have prasadam then, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna.
Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.